You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
First, the bad news, and I'm sorry. I know you don't come here for the news, good or bad. There are a million news podcasts out there. There are still newspapers out there, news websites, news feeds on Twitter. The news is nearly unavoidable. And people turn to podcasts like mine, a nice little show about sex and relationships, the relationships other people are in, the sex other people are having, for a distraction. Unless it's your question that gets on the show and then you're here for the advice. But I know people come here, people listen to me, to avoid the news, if only for a little bit. But I'm kind of a news junkie myself, and when the news is as bad as the news is right now, it affects me, as I'm sure it affects you. I've been really depressed the last couple of weeks. I've been doing self-care, and my self-care routines probably look a little different than yours, but whatever your self-care routine looks like, I hope you're making some time for it. Anyway, I'm sure I don't need to tell you what's going on in Ukraine. But I want to acknowledge it because my heart aches right now for the brave people of Ukraine. My heart also aches a little bit for the many Russians I've met over the years who don't want to live under a dictator. And then there's the bad news for queer people coming out of Texas and Florida. In Texas, the governor, the odious governor, Greg Abbott, has declared that gender-affirming care for trans kids is child abuse and is now threatening the parents of trans kids who provide that kind of care to their kids with prosecution and threatening to take their kids away. And at the same time, in Florida, a Don't Say Gay bill is making its way through the Republican-controlled state legislature there and will pass, and it will be signed into law by Florida's equally odious Governor Ron DeSantis. This bill, once it becomes law, would ban discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity in Florida schools. One version of the bill that may yet pass requires schools to out gay kids to their parents. If a kid at school comes out to some friends and that gets back to school administration, to teachers, they have to tell the parents. Denying trans kids treatment they need, that'll kill trans kids. Outing gay kids to their parents, parents who may not be supportive, parents who may be the worst bullies in a gay kid's life, that'll get gay kids killed. And that's the goal here. Let's not pretend. Dead queer kids aren't collateral damage when you attack trans kids or pass Don't Say Gay bills that require schools to out vulnerable gay kids to their parents who may not be supportive. This shit has been going on for decades, centuries. Make queer people as miserable as humanly possible. Ensure that we're estranged from our families. Convince us that a white-bearded male god exists, which he doesn't. And then convince us that that guy god hates us, which he doesn't, because that guy god doesn't exist. And guys, gods or not, who don't exist, can't hate us. And then point to the pile of dead gay kids. Point to the gay kids and queer kids and trans kids that you murdered. And insist that pile of bodies is proof the gay lifestyle is dangerous. Like I said, the news is bad. But this is a sex and relationship podcast. You come here to escape the news, and I want to end on an up note here before we get to the show, and I do have some good news to share. Ladies and gentlemen, America frequently disappoints, but Americans came through. I am delighted to say Rule 34 is back in effect. Rule 34, if it exists or can be imagined, there is internet porn of it. At the top of last week's show, I talked about ice fishing, which exists. It's a combo of two terrible things, freezing temperatures and fishing. Not a subject most sex advice podcasts would tackle, but a mayor in a town in Ohio was worried that allowing ice fishing on its lake meant allowing ice fishing huts, and ice fishing huts would bring prostitution to town. Because if there's anything I know about sex workers, it's that no sex worker would ever turn down the chance to drive to the middle of nowhere and walk out into the middle of a frozen lake to meet a man with a chainsaw, the chainsaw being what ice fishermen use to carve holes in the ice, holes that are good for fishing through, also good for hiding a body in. Yeah, that's definitely an out call that no sex worker would pass on. Anyway, I pointed out that there was no ice fishing porn on the internet that I could find. Rule 34 was at risk of being disproven. So I laid down a challenge to my listeners, find or make some ice fishing porn immediately and save Rule 34. You guys came through. Thank you to Dan, Abigail, Joe, Kai, Sarah, Philip, Brian, Mark, Jose, Christian, Christopher, and everyone else who, well, didn't make ice fishing porn, but sent me the link to the one and only example of ice fishing porn that exists on the internet. I Fucked Layla in My Ice Fishing Tent can be viewed right now on Pornhub. It's 11 minutes long, which is an eternity in porn. And it opens with a woman, presumably Layla, in a pink jacket and a beige knit hat, bent over a folding chair in an ice fishing hut, being fucked by a guy, a ginger guy, pretty hot with a beard, who is wearing, for some inexplicable reason, a glow-in-the-dark green bracelet. There are beers, folding chairs, ice, I didn't see the chainsaw, but I assume it's there somewhere, and a sad propane tank in the corner for warmth. Here's the thing, though. I Fucked Layla in My Ice Fishing Tent was posted 6 months ago by Layla, and since ice fishing has existed forever, at least as long as Minnesota has existed and Wisconsin has existed and Ohio has existed, that means Rule 34 has only been in full force for the last 6 months. I'm not going to describe the action. You can go to Pornhub right now and watch for yourself, unless you're in Russia, because last week, immediately after Russia invaded Ukraine, Pornhub blocked access to its website and all the porn on it, including I Fucked Layla in My Ice Fishing Tent, to everyone in Russia. Which means the pornographers at Pornhub did the right thing right away, banning Russians from masturbation. Whereas it took FIFA, the famously corrupt organization that runs world soccer, more than a week to do the right thing and ban Russian teams from competition. So, yeah, that goal gets awarded to the pornographers. All right, coming up on this week's show, a couple of very different dom-sub relationships to talk about. And on the Magnum, I chat with my pediatrician pal, Dr. Daniel Summers, about the washing of hands and the eating of ass. Why are we encouraged to do the former, wash those hands, when we are also engaging in the latter, eating those asses? But first, a cautionary tale about starting off on the wrong foot when meeting your new boyfriend's mother.
This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Talkspace, online therapy that makes it easy to get extra mental health support. For $100 off your first month, go to Talkspace.com and use the offer code SAVAGE. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E.
Hey, Dan. 39-year-old cis woman dating a man on the West Coast. My boyfriend's mom has very likely just seen one of my nudes. I was gifted by him one of those digital picture frames and was unaware that there was a social aspect to it with photo sharing. One of my friends called me and apparently got a notification that I'd uploaded a photo to his frame. He has an office frame, alone in a private office, and I just thought I'd send him one as like a joke there that would show up and he'd delete it. That is pretty much what happened, except instead of deleting it, he cropped it, and it only cropped it, I guess, on the frame and not in the app. Where my friend got the notification, so did he, and so does mom, we think. And so it seems like she probably saw it. Apparently, she had lunch with his sister today and said something vaguely about the digital picture frame and me. So I don't really know what to do here. They're very conservative, his parents, to the point where I guess his dad is kind of a pastor. They're very active in the evangelical church. And I don't know what to do. His sister might do some reconnaissance, but how do I come back from this? I haven't met her yet. I'm the first person he's dated since he's been divorced. So this ain't looking good.
So what happened? Did you find out if your potential future mother-in-law saw this nude of you?
I did. The good news is his sister came up with kind of a creative way to ask and got it out of her that she did not. So that crisis is averted. However, I have since found out his aunt, his uncle, his grandpa, his cousins are also on the picture frame.
Oh my God.
Also religious. And I don't know if they saw, and I don't think we can ask.
Okay, so this
is too many people.
This is not your problem. You just started dating this dude, right? He's the one who pushed this photo out. I don't understand this technology at all, but he pushed this photo out in such a way that he accidentally shared it himself with all of these people. It's not your problem.
Didn't.
It's not your. Oh, you did?
Well, okay, so it's a digital picture frame. I didn't realize it had like a social aspect to it. So when I put up the frame on his, or I put the photo on his frame, everyone who is like is friends with that frame got a notification that I uploaded a photo to it.
Oh my God. Okay, this Internet of Things makes me crazy. My dirty pictures are in the fridge. That's what we're coming to. Oh my God, his toaster is connected to the internet and I shared my dirty pictures and they popped out of the toaster with his mom's fucking bagel. Oh my God.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay, so it's still not your problem to solve. You attempted to share a dirty photo with him. He is so stupid, I guess, as to have a frame connected to his entire family that women he's just started dating can upload a photo to without realizing that that one frame of his is stupidly connected to his entire religious family. And so a nude that someone intended to share with him privately was shared publicly. Again, not because you're so careless or reckless, but because he's so stupid as to have this internet enabled picture frame that like taps right into the cerebral cortex of his entire religious family. He's the one who's got to go solve this. He's the one who's got to go say, hey, my girlfriend didn't know that this picture frame on my desk went to everybody. And so that's my bad for not telling her that. She thought it was private. So yeah, let's all stuff this down the memory hole and pretend this didn't happen. But this is definitely a thing that adults do. They share dirty pictures. Even religious people talk about doing this. You can find Christian sex advice, books and podcasts and blogs where people talk about it. It's okay for, you know, betrothed or married people to share digital photographs to arouse desire within the bounds of holy matrimony. So it's not something that religious people don't do, but it's not your job to run interference with his family. It's his job.
Okay, good. I like that. I like this answer very much. I mean, we're going on a trip with his entire family in a couple months. So hopefully he can do that before then. Would be great.
And you know what? I kind of been there. Like Tara and I had a bunch of photographs that we put like on a high shelf in the apartment that we shared alone. And his parents came to visit. And then we realized after they left that those photographs were sitting there. And my feeling always was, based on how I was treated for about like the next 5 years, that they saw those photographs that, you know, when they were home alone and we were out to dinner or whatever, you know, they saw those photographs. And blamed me for them. And I did seem to be the more active participant in those photographs, I have to say. And eventually, you know, sometimes that let's not talk about it, let's just pretend that didn't happen is the right way to go. Like you could have an endless family process session where you pick apart and then, you know, make an audio tape and send it to me. You pick apart how these fucking frames work because I still don't understand. And you pick apart.
I don't understand either.
Exactly what happened. And justify sending dirty pictures to your new boyfriend, which you shouldn't have to justify. Or you can just ignore it and stuff it down the memory hole and pretend not to know what they might know. And they pretend not to know what they might know or do know. And you just get on with it. That's what we did. Worked for us. I would encourage you and your boyfriend to do that. But if anybody has to fix this problem, run interference with this family, go clean up this mess, it ain't you, it's him. And throw the frame away.
Okay.
Throw the frame away.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, that's gone. That's going away.
All right, great talking with you.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
Hi, Dan. Pansexual cisgender woman calling from California with a question related to kink and romantic feelings. I recently got out of a relationship that had been ending for a while, but I finally decided to cut off all contact with my ex. And since then, I've been enjoying being single, exploring a lot of things that I was interested in exploring before, like ethical non-monogamy and kink, that I wasn't able to explore before because my last partner wasn't interested in it. Since being single, I've met someone who is older, and we've kind of naturally fallen into these DDLG sub-dom roles. There's about a 9-year age gap, and I think we, after the first time we hooked up, we immediately realized that we were both into this kink and have been doing a lot of research together, talking about it, and figuring out what works best for us. And I'm really, really excited about it. So far, it's been going really well. But we have had a conversation of just what we're looking for in terms of romantic relationships. And they've made it very clear that they aren't interested in a romantic relationship anytime soon. And because I just got out of a relationship less than 2 months ago, I definitely need some time before I'm ready to hop into another relationship. The thing is, I have a history of falling for every single person I fuck. That's a little bit of an over-exaggeration, but I do tend to have a hard time separating romantic feelings from sexual feelings. And I already feel myself starting to like this person. I think we get along really well. This is the most communicative relationship I've had with any partner, but specifically a sexual partner. I'm learning a lot from them, and I really just enjoy their company. So I can see myself catching romantic feelings for them if we continue what we've been doing, which is talking almost every day, like via text or, you know, a call on the lunch break, seeing each other, I would say, pretty regularly. And yeah, I don't know. I think I just am trying to be very cautious because I really want to explore the DDLG dynamic and go on this kink adventure with them, but also want to avoid getting hurt. So wondering if you have any suggestions or tips for how to keep a kink dynamic or relationship strictly kinky and avoid bringing romance into it.
If you want to avoid getting hurt, don't date anybody. Don't leave the house. And don't get in and out of the tub if you stay at home alone. Most people who injure themselves at home, who hurt themselves at home, do so getting in and out of the tub. So if you don't want to get hurt, don't date anybody, but also don't bathe. But if you don't date people, if you don't put yourself out there, if you don't risk potential hurt at the hands of a romantic partner, unintentional emotional pain, not erotic pain in the context of a kinky dynamic, then what do you got? Well, then you have the certain hurt, the definite pain of avoidable isolation, of loneliness, of feeling sexually unfulfilled, sexually frustrated. So yeah, that seems nuts to isolate yourself, to avoid potential hurt at the hands of a romantic partner, to avoid someone else inflicting that pain on you. Then you stay at home alone and you inflict the pain of loneliness and isolation on yourself. That doesn't make any sense. So you're going to have to get out there and date. And I don't need to tell you that. You're already out there dating and you're anxious. You're catching feelings for this person, which is normal and good, potentially. It's good to catch feelings for someone. You should, we all should have feelings for our sexual partners. It doesn't mean we have to have romantic feelings. It doesn't mean we have to have, you know, we don't have to be looking forward to a lifetime together with that person, but we should have some feeling for and feeling toward our romantic partners. And that's not a bug or a threat. That's a feature. That's a good thing. It does, however, make you feel more at risk for emotional pain. If you're opening up to this guy and you really, really like him and you've only known him for a few weeks or a couple of months and it ends for any of the reasons that brand new relationships can end and sometimes do end, well, that'll suck and you'll be hurt, but you'll pull yourself back together and you'll get back on your feet and you'll find somebody else to explore dom sub, kink, DD, LG, polyamory with after that person has exited your life and after you've had a little time to get over the pain. God, romantic pain is this thing that just it looms so large in people's fears, and yet all around us, there are examples, including examples in our own lives, where we've seen people get their hearts stomped on, think they're going to die. They don't die. They get over it. They recover. And then they get into a new relationship with someone else, a happy relationship, a relationship that they find fulfilling. And then they look back on the relationship that ended, look back on that pain at the loss of that person. And yeah, they're not grieving it anymore, because if they hadn't lost that person who dumped them a year ago or 2 years ago, they wouldn't be with the wonderful person they're with now. And somehow, despite all the examples all around us, the lives of our friends, family members, even our parents, even examples in our own life, we can't somehow project ourselves into a future where we're able to imagine recovering from the broken heart that we risk when we get into a new relationship with a person. All right, that was a long digression. As for sustaining the kink dynamic in the context of a long-term relationship or a relationship that's becoming more intimate over time, there's no one right way to do kink. There are some people into DS play who, after a conversation about consent and boundaries and limits and safety, don't want to have any more interactions with the person who's dominating them or the person who's submitting to them, because that might interfere with their ability to, you know, inhabit the role of the snarling dom or the cringing sub. And this person that they're playing with, only knowing them as that person, as that dominant or as that submissive, for some people into DS play, it makes it feel more real and easier to tap into those feelings of dominance and submission if the person they're playing with doesn't know them, doesn't know their hopes, their fears, their work dramas, their family dramas, only knows them as this dom or this sub. Other people who are into kink are able to fold it into a relationship, actually find it more enjoyable to have kink in the context of a relationship, and in some ways, kinkier. You know, somebody that only knows you as a sub, who strings you up and flogs you in a safe and consensual, mutually pleasurable way, but an intense way, and isn't invested in you as a person beyond being their sub and their victim. Yeah, that's pretty fucking kinky. And for some people, that's sexier, as kink goes. Others, to be strung up and flogged by not a stranger to you, but someone who knows you and loves you and yet is doing this terrible thing to you, that adds a whole nother kind of emotional mindfuck dynamic, kind of delicious perversity to that play in the context of the ongoing intimate romantic relationship. Which kind of DS works for you? DS in the context of I don't know you other than as my dom, or DS in the context of we're in a relationship and we know and love each other? Which works for you is something that you will figure out in time as you explore and play and get to know yourself better and what works for you better. And you don't have to choose one or the other. There are people who have good DS kink dynamics in the context of their long-term romantic committed relationships and occasionally enjoy DS play with someone who only knows them as a dom or a sub. So you don't have to pick one or the other. You can have some of both, particularly if it's going to be an open relationship, which is what you said at the very beginning of your call you wanted, polyamory. I talk a lot on the Lovecast about how important it is to be in good working order so your relationship can thrive. But these days, good working order is also a pretty tall order. So I recommend, as I've always recommended, therapy, and I recommend Talkspace for therapy. Talkspace gives you unlimited access to a licensed therapist so you can clear up the confusion and focus on what matters most, being the best person and best partner you can possibly be. Whether you've been married for years, you're re-entering the dating scene, or you're just trying to get comfortable with being single, talking to a therapist can help. Talkspace offers couples therapy so you can work on your relationship with your partner at your side. Because with the right tools and the right insights, your relationships get stronger. And with asynchronous messaging and options for live video sessions, you can talk on a schedule that works for you. No need to wait for an appointment. Plus, Talkspace's encryption and added security features keep your conversation fully protected. Join Talkspace today and start the journey to happier, healthier relationships, including your relationship with yourself. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use the promo code SAVAGE at signup. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code SAVAGE.
Hey, Dan. My husband and I have been together for 16 years. We have 4 young kids, 2 bio, 2 adopted, and an amazing life together. That said, I'm not in a great headspace right now. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 12 years, and 2 of my kiddos are homeschooled and have special needs. I gained a ton of weight, and I'm quite anxious and depressed these days. The pandemic has done a real number on me. This month, my husband lost his grandmother and traveled with our 12-year-old to his hometown for a funeral. In advance of the trip, he reconnected with his closest friend in the area, who also happens to have been his high school girlfriend. I was home feeling a little irrationally jealous and insecure, and also feeling mad at myself for knowing in my intellectual brain that he has absolutely no intention of running off with this woman. But honestly, she is really cool. She's single, a lawyer, in good shape, loves dogs, loves playing video games. She's vivacious and fun and sweet and smart. She's really the whole package. I also happen to know that he kind of regretted breaking up with her back in the day. He didn't have a good reason to do so. And back when we got married, he was totally honest with me in saying that, yeah, he did sometimes think about what his life would be like if they had stayed together. So I've had that tickling the back of my head every time they have interacted over the years. It turns out, though, after a series of conversations since he's been home, that he actually does still have feelings for her. And if he had permission from me, he actually would want to pursue a polyamorous romantic relationship with her, if that's something that she and I would both want too. They've been texting each other nonstop since he got home. And when I realized just how much time and attention he was devoting to communicating with her, I pressed him on it. He's really psyched to have reconnected with her, is super happy to invite her back into his life, but also has the self-awareness to see that a platonic friendship with her is not ever going to really satisfy the feelings he has for her. And he would really love for me to be cool with it. I've been a long, long time listener to the podcast, and so we've had many conversations about ethical non-monogamy over the years. Up to this point, neither of us have felt driven to open our relationship up, but we've always agreed that both would much rather an open dialogue about our feelings if we're feeling drawn to other people, and that if someday we might want or need to open our monogamous relationship, it's on the table. That said, we're in a sort of difficult position right now. I'm not feeling good enough about myself to allow him space to pursue someone else romantically. I just lack the self-confidence that I feel like that is required there. Our home is full of chaos and small children, and I already feel like our time for each other is stretched incredibly thin. To his credit, he is communicative and honest and prioritizes our marriage and our family above everything else. He's not unhappy with our lives. He's willing to dial back the communication with her if that's what I need right now. And that's what I asked him to do. For at least a few more years, until we don't have the chaos of 4 young children in the house, and maybe the pandemic can shift to where I can regain some semblance of mental health. But I still feel absolutely horrible and torn, like I'm removing a potentially enormous source of joy for him in his life. If it were a matter of us all being friends and hanging out and occasionally he'd want to haul past to sleep with her, or even have a threesome with her, I feel like that's something I could enthusiastically support. But that's not what he's asking for. It's not what's in his heart. He had a conversation with her over text to let her know that he's going to need to pull back a bit, because after they reconnected, he was finding a bunch of old feelings arose in him, and I'm not in a headspace where I can consent to him continuing to crush on her so intensely. She was super cool about it, but didn't say one way or another how she feels, just that she was impressed with our communication skills, thinks I'm awesome, and wouldn't ever want to threaten our marriage. And she would be happy to support him however she can to encourage exclusively platonic friendship with her. Is there any chance you could help me reframe this? Am I handling this okay?
You need to take your husband's yes for an answer. You told him what you needed, which is shutting this down. That you're not in a place with 4 young children at home and you being the full-time stay-at-home parent and 2 of those children being special needs and in the midst of still this ongoing pandemic, it's not the right time for you to contemplate opening up the relationship, making room in the relationship, making room in your marriage for your husband to have another partner. You need his full focus and attention on the family he chose to create with you. And you made that clear to him, and he agreed. He said, yes. Yes, I will shut this down. Yes, I will tell this other woman that I have these feelings for and this connection with that I can't be available to her now. You put it out there that maybe in a few years, maybe when we're really through this pandemic, past this pandemic, maybe when your kids are older and you're not in this position where you are A, exhausted, and B, really dependent on your husband financially, emotionally, in every way, dependent on his support and needing his full attention to keep this family going and to raise the kids that he had with you. You put that all out there. You said that to him. He heard you. He shut it down. He said yes. He said, yes, you're right. Yes, I will put a stop to this. And you feel bad. Don't feel bad that he said yes to you. Don't feel bad about prioritizing not just yourself here, but your family, which includes your husband, but also the needs, safety, and security of your children. That is the right thing to do, and your husband recognizes that it's the right thing to do, and he's doing it. Don't project yourself into his experience and feel his feelings for him and feel sad for him or as if you were him because he can't have everything that he wants right now. Because he can't. And he shouldn't be able to have everything that he wants right now because you both together have so much on your plate right now and you need to be focused and he needs to be focused on this family that he created with you and the needs of all four of your children. It is true, it's a cliche of people in open relationships and a lot of people in, you know, organized swinging, that people come to it, most heterosexual couples, come to it later in life when their children are grown. You're obviously open to this possibility at some point in the future. And so your husband can live in hope. This woman has been out there kind of waiting in the wings, I guess, still open to getting with your husband, even though he's married to someone else. Her mind is open to the possibility of some sort of polyamorous relationship where you're the primary partner. Okay, well, if she's waited this long, she can wait however much longer she might need to wait. And your husband can wait however much longer he might need to wait. Another 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? You two can work on what that number might be together. I think it's highly likely that at some point in the future, you two together as a team, as a couple, will revisit this discussion about potentially opening up your marriage. And not just for him, not just on his side, but also potentially for you. At a time when you're under less stress from the pandemic and less stress from the responsibilities of raising these four kids. And raising these four kids is not just your responsibility. It's his responsibility too. We call some businesses small businesses, but a small business doesn't seem small to the person who's running it. Your small business doesn't seem small to you. And Stamps.com can help you grow your business, big or small, by saving you both time and money. Don't waste time with repeated trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you money in the process so you can spend less time at the post office, more time making your customers happy while earning bigger profits. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. Stamps.com gives you access to all the post office and UPS shipping services you need and right from your own computer. And you get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS rates and up to 76% off UPS. Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer, no special supplies or equipment. You will be up and running in minutes, printing official postage for any letter, any package, and sending it anywhere you want to send it. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code SAVAGE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code SAVAGE. Let them know the Lovecast sent you. Enter code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to sex and relationships, but I've been building my confidence and experience and having fun through some random hookups where I take on a dominatrix role, usually involving some soft edging play. These are guys that I find online, and I'm pretty upfront in my ad about just wanting to invite them over for some safe, no-pressure fun. So I'm not posing it as a date. I'm upfront about it being a straight-up hookup. Finding the guys isn't an issue. My question is about what happens from the time they walk through the door until the time they're undressed and on my bed with their dick in my hands. Because after we start, it's fine. But I find the lead up to it is so awkward. I welcome them in and I'm inclined to chat for a few minutes so that we both feel safe and comfortable, but I don't really know where to go from there or how to initiate it, especially since we don't really know each other and I'm supposed to take on the dominant role. It sort of ends up with me just saying something like, okay, you ready to do this? So not sexy at all, but I guess it kind of works. So what's the best way to get from nice to meet you to having them in my bed in a safe but sexy way?
So I'm going to assume you're doing your screw diligence here, that when you invite these guys over, you've really vetted them, you've talked to them, you have a good feeling about them, you know their real names, because it sounds like you're skipping that meet in public first and have a conversation before you invite somebody into your home part. So you're doing your screw diligence?
Yes, doing my due diligence and making sure that they are who they say they are and that we're, you know, being safe and we're consensual and we're doing everything right.
Okay. I have tons of kinky gay friends who do this sort of thing, who show up at somebody's house for, you know, bondage and edging and whatever. And there is a thing that like gay kinksters do that I think may be a little more extreme than what you're interested in or up for. Sometimes when they arrive at the front door or the apartment door, there's handcuffs and a blindfold waiting for them. Just inside the door or outside the door, and they handcuff, they put the blindfold on, and then they handcuff their hands behind their back, and then they knock on the door with their forehead, I guess, or their knee. And so it gets the DS scene rolling without any of that, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Small talk that can really take the gas out of the, you know, the tension out of the DS stuff or require you to, like, are you ready for this? Like you said, kind of make an awkward pivot. And you can get there. You make these awkward pivots and then you get there, but it can be harder to save the not erotic chit chat for after it's over.
Okay. I like that idea. We can roll with that.
Well, maybe not handcuffs and a blindfold at the door, but you could say to guys before they come over, chit chat ruins it for me. Like you can just say exactly what you said to me, like a little bit of chit chat before we start ruins it for me. So from the moment you walk in the door, it has started. I will be ordering you around, ordering you into bed. If you show up and I feel uncomfortable, I'll call it off. If you feel uncomfortable, you can call it off. But if we're going to go forward, chit chat after, dom sub right away.
Sure. Okay.
Then you've given yourself permission to like say nothing about the weather, to not ask them how they are, to not ask them how the bus ride was. You can just dive right in. And you've already chit-chatted with them, right?
Yes, chit-chatted, made sure that they're, you know, who they say they are. So as long as we establish that comfort level going into it, I could be into something like that.
Do you have video chats with people before they come over so that you know that their photos are accurate?
I don't. Maybe I should.
Have you ever had a case where somebody came over and their photos were 20 years old and someone else's?
No, shockingly, that has not happened so far. Everybody's been who they said they are, and the photos were recent, so it's been okay so far.
Great. I'm glad you're having good experiences with this. And these are the sorts of things that sometimes make people feel a little, on someone else's behalf, concerned. You know, you're a woman inviting strange men you haven't met over to your apartment, but people do that safely all the time. It just requires that due diligence or screw diligence, as I like to call it, really vetting people, knowing who they actually are, having their real names, their real phone numbers, and then trusting your gut and having a good feel about them and giving yourself permission if they show up and you are not comfortable calling it off, not going through with it to avoid awkwardness, calling it off. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had to call it off?
No, not so far, but I know that that's in my power and I can do that. Call it off if it's not right.
It sounds like you're doing everything right. So zap the inane pre-edging chit-chat and just tell them that's not on the menu, that they're going to show up and they're going to shut up and obey. And sometimes when it comes to this kind of DS play, it really, a blindfold really helps, because there's something about looking someone in the eye where you just feel like this pull of those social niceties and the little like chit-chatty thing, that if they have a blindfold on and you're not making eye contact and you're leading them into your bedroom, if they feel comfortable wearing a blindfold, it really is a great workaround, or really a great way to avoid getting sucked into that inane chit chat if you're not making eye contact, if they trust you enough to put that blindfold on right away.
Yeah, I think that could be a good place to start.
Give us a call. Let us know how it goes with the next guy.
I will. Thank you so much for calling, Dan. It was great chatting with you.
Great talking with you too. There's something I want to take a moment to talk about, something I care about deeply, something that people who know me personally can attest that I rarely shut up about and even sometimes raise on this here Sex Advice podcast, and that is the importance of a functioning democracy. There's been so much bad news on that front recently. I know it can be tempting to tune it all out, but it's important that we stay engaged. The good news is there are tangible ways we can all help fix things. Here's one way. A bunch of us in the podcast community have partnered with Represent Us, a nonpartisan organization, to spread the word about efforts to protect our elections and pass laws that will make our government truly of, by, and for the people. We're doing this because America faces urgent anti-democratic threats. 19 states have passed laws in the last year that make it harder to vote. Election workers are quitting in droves because of threats and harassment. And there's a coordinated campaign to put people in charge of our elections who do not believe in democracy. But again, there are things we can do together, all of us, to ensure free and fair elections, or to achieve free and fair elections. If you care about the state of our democracy like we do, like I do, like Nancy does, like the tech-savvy at-risk youth do, it's time for all of us, independents, progressives, even conservatives, and yes, Sex Advice podcasters, to put country over party and take a stand. Head to represent.us/podcast to learn more. That's represent.us/podcast.
Hi, Dan. I'm a bisexual male living in the Midwest. And over the last few years, I've gotten more comfortable with telling people that I'm bisexual. But the thing is, I don't usually like their response. So it's usually, I never would have guessed that. So I was wondering, how can I go about making my wardrobe, I guess, more sexually ambiguous? I like traditionally feminine patterns with traditionally masculine colors. When I picture this in my head, I picture something that Freddie Mercury would have worn in the 80s. Do you or any of your listeners know where I can find clothing like that?
I'm going to toss this one out to the listeners because I am not a fashion plate. I was thinking this morning about the last time I bought a pair of shoes, a t-shirt, or jeans for myself. And that's all I wear, are tennis shoes, jeans, and t-shirts. And it's been about 20 years. My husband took on those responsibilities for me a long time ago. I wouldn't even know where to start with a clothing recommendation for what it is that you want, caller. Clothes that have traditionally masculine colors, but with cuts and styles associated traditionally with articles of clothing made for women or feminine people. So if there are other people out there who have a suggestion, you might want to jump in, give us a call, and share. I do have one alternate suggestion for you. If what you want to avoid is that moment when you tell people that you're bisexual and they say clumsy, awkward things, I don't know if you can ever avoid that moment. You know, when you tell somebody that you're gay or lesbian or bi or trans or pan or poly or kinky, that can make that other person feel uncomfortable. That now can make the other person worry about saying the wrong thing. And there's something about worrying that you might say the wrong thing that prompts us to say the wrong thing often. Yeah, when you tell people that you're bi, some of the responses you're going to get are going to be awkward in ways that you wish you could have avoided. And if what you want to do with your fashion choices is to signal to people that you're bi before you have to say anything, well, that's where pins come in. You can get bi flag pins. You can get bi pride pins that literally say bi pride on them. There are lots of pins, t-shirts, scarves even, hats that you can wear that do the coming out for you, even the first time that you encounter someone, so that your bisexuality was always a fact on the table before you got to know them. And then you're less likely, if they knew you were bi from the start because you were signaling bi to them, they're less likely to say things like, oh, I never would have been able to tell, which a lot of straight, heterosexual, cisgender people feel is a compliment when someone comes out to them as queer and they say, well, I would have been able to guess. No one was asking you to guess. It's not a quiz. It's not a game show. No one's asking you to guess. And what a lot of straight, you know, cishet people think they're doing at that moment is telling you that, or they don't realize what they're doing at that moment is telling you that you're the kind of queer that they're comfortable with because you're not the kind of queer who's too queer, whose queerness reads. And they could have just gone on assuming. They were able to assume that you were straight. They were able to assume that you were cis. And until you told them, they could have gone on making those assumptions they were comfortable making. Yeah. So when someone says something like that to you, I never been able to tell, they're not telling you something about you. They're telling you something about themselves, something that they need to think about, work on, work through, get over. And if anyone has something that they should feel uncomfortable about at that moment when someone says something like that to you, it's them, caller, them, not you. All right, before we get to this week's listener response calls, let's read some Savage Lovecast listener tweets. Dr. Stacey Hannum tweets, love the work Fake Dan Savage does to help destigmatize and normalize sex work. Episode 800 was fire, on point, discussing how sex work can offer valuable intimacy for those who are unpartnered due to death, aging, and being differently abled. Hashtag sex work is work. Hashtag Savage Lovecast. Thank you, Dr. Hannum. We didn't note that last week's episode was our 800th episode. It is a milestone. And in a little less than 4 years, assuming we're all still here in 4 years, we will plan something fun, maybe a live show, for our 1,000th episode. Josh Silverman tweets, yesterday the drive time between the entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel in New York City and our exit off I-95 in Philadelphia was the same duration as one episode of the Savage Lovecast Magnum Edition. Congrats on episode 800, Dan, Nancy, and the Tech Savvy at-risk youth. Thank you, Josh, and happy to be with you there on your drive. And finally, Dr. Jamie Bear tweets, I had a very hot, if weird, dream about fucking a guy in the communal showers on a cruise ship whilst Fake Dan Savage shouted advice on sexual positions at me from the changing room. Really got to stop falling asleep with the Savage Lovecast playing on my pillow speaker. Sexy dreams with a little sex advice coaching from a trusted source? That is not an argument for not falling asleep listening to the Savage Lovecast, Dr. Jamie Bear, but an argument for it. Anyway, whenever you choose to listen, thank you for listening, Dr. Bear, and I will see you in your dreams. All right, if you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And a big thank you to everyone who posted about the Savage Lovecast this week to Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. We really appreciate those social media posts. They spread the word about the show. We are very grateful. And now, something else we're grateful for, listener response calls.
Hi, Dan. I have a comment for the caller in episode 800 whose employee's master was feeding her at a work event. First, I would like to re-emphasize what you said about how when you work with people or you employ people, you enter into social contracts with them where you don't have to spell it out, but yeah, your master doesn't come to work events and feed you in public. And also, you enter into contracts with people, which are agreements that say, I will pay you so-and-so amount of money for so-and-so's service. Your personal life shouldn't interfere with your work. What happens if her master decides, oh, I just don't want her to go to work for a week? Is the company going to have to deal with that? It's ridiculous. I know we're going through the great resignation right now where companies are having a hard time holding on to personnel, but we have to draw the line somewhere. And I think this is it. So you or human resources in your company, depending on how your company is structured, have to pull this person up short and let them know that this kind of thing is not going to fly. And if this is how they want to live their life, that's fine. They just can't live it at your company.
Hi, I'm calling for the woman's sister from episode 800. She wants to break up with her boyfriend, but was feeling bad about it. And one of the things she mentioned was that he has an anxiety disorder and he needs a lot of support from her when he's having a panic attack. I'm a mental health professional and I treat patients with anxiety disorders. One really important part of treating anxiety is that the person has to learn that they can handle symptoms and anxiety and panicky feelings by themselves. If someone has a safe person that they always call when they need to be rescued from their anxiety, it ends up being really counterproductive and disempowering because they wind up feeling so dependent on their partner. They feel like the partner is the only thing that can help them survive their anxiety. So if you came into my office, even if you wanted to stay together, I would be counseling you that when you, quote, help him by calming him down, you aren't actually helping him, even though it might feel like that at that moment. So in your case, as you end the relationship, it might be helpful for you to remember that him learning how to care for himself, hopefully with the help of a good therapist or at least some good self-help books, is really going to be an important step in his healing.
This is in response to the lady from episode 800 that's really into black girl magic. I'm a cis brown gay guy, by the way. I think you may be overthinking this and you just need simpler language to explain this to a future partner, which is just to say, you're really my type. It's vague because they don't know if that's because of their body type, race, hair, or whatever, but as they get to know you and your past, they'll be able to figure that out slowly, but that idea was already planted in their head, so it won't feel as icky.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for next week's show or a comment about some of the advice I gave on this week's show? Can you do better? Use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question. We love your questions. Or your comments. We love those too. And email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. You can also call us at 206-302-2064. The Hump 2022 Opening Festival concludes this weekend in San Francisco at Victoria Theater, as well as in Portland at Revolution Hall, where I will be hosting all of this weekend's screenings. Once the opening fests wrap up, we'll tally the votes, award the Hump Awards to the winners of those Hump Awards, and then take the Hump 2022 Festival with all new films on the road to over 25 cities all through 2022. Visit humpfilmfest.com to get your tickets to a screening near you today. Also, the Savage Love Store has some new merch, including a cool GGG mug that'll let everyone know that you are good, giving, and game in bed and life. Go to savage.love to browse all the new items. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Dr. Daniel Summers on Twitter at WFKARS. And maybe you can tweet at him and ask him what his Twitter handle means, because he won't tell me. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week on an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading, and please take care of yourself. Bye.